Romans chapter 5. Before we get to Romans 5, I'm going to read you 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Never lose sight of the fact that you are a member of a royal priesthood. Amen. Ordained of God. You've been placed where God placed you, in God's timing, in God's way, in accordance with God's will. Nothing in the life of a believer is circumstance. No. Nothing in the life of a believer is accident. It is the grace of God, the mercy of God, and the love of God, and the providence of God that protects us as we come through the various stages we have to come through to reach that point in time when we will submit to His lordship and His leadership. Everyone in here can look back across their life and say, I wish I had never been there. Amen. I wish I had never said that. I wish I had never done that. I wish I had never been a part of that. And one of the hardest things we do is coming beyond the failures of the past, enjoy the victory that we have now. Yes, the sins are forgiven. God has forgotten the past. But I can't. Nor can you. The enemy will remind us of the past till the day we go to glory. This morning I'm going to bring you some verses that from Romans chapter 5 that are meant to encourage you. But before we get there, make a couple of comments that I want you to listen carefully to. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7, but to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Commonality, yet individuality. We have commonality in the fact that each and every one of us have been born again, have been adopted into the family of God, have been made believer priest in the kingdom of God. And yet in our commonality, we have individuality. We have different gifts, different anointings, different experiences, different backgrounds. And yet God, in His wisdom, providence, mercy, and grace, blends this whole thing together in a body. And each of us are individual members within that body. And each of us have a specific individual function within that body. Then we look at Ephesians 4:8. Therefore, He says, when He ascended on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Took captivity captive. Took that which had captured us and took it into captivity and made a show of them before all the host of heaven, as best we can understand it from Colossians. Made a show of His victory over everything hell had to offer. You can walk in that victory. Amen. So not only did He take captivity captive, He gifted each of His own. In spite of your lack of education or your amount of education, in spite of whatever else you may or may not be, as a child of God, you are gifted with at least one gift. Some are gifted with more than one gift. But you are gifted with a supernatural, spiritual gift. If I were to ask you, do you know what your gift is, could you tell me? Or are you still trying to discover what that gift is? You have a spiritual gift. And the Holy Spirit will anoint that gift, utilize that gift, if you're willing to let Him utilize it. So as we come in this morning, I want us to look, number firstly, at our responsibilities as a child of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. Now let me make sure you understand something. It's not a cakewalk. It's not a cakewalk. So much of what we call the church is not the church. Amen. The church is comprised of those who've been purchased by the blood of Christ, indwelt by the Spirit of God, adopted into the kingdom of God, made believer priest, made ambassadors for Christ, and who are themselves soldiers in a warfare that nobody can really explain. It's a spiritual warfare. And you have to understand that every day of the world, when you get up, wake up and get up, before your feet hit the floor, all hell's on notice. He, she is up. Attack. Neutralize. Discourage. Threaten. Intimidate. Tempt. It's warfare. It's warfare. And you're on the field of combat. You're not back in R&R. This is not rest and relaxation. This is combat. We're in combat every day of the world. And you will never live a day when the enemy is not seeking to neutralize your testimony, your witness, your faith. He does not want you to walk in faith. He simply wants to neutralize you. Understand this, and I'm having to move into some areas once again that I've been somewhat reticent to move in because so much of the church doesn't have ears to hear. I think you do. And God has been confirming for me in recent weeks through Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He's been confirming for me things that I taught for so long. I pray these things. I teach these things. And I've taught this for years, but the Lord has moved me there once again with a fresh insight. It's warfare, bottom line. It's warfare. We are in warfare. Therefore, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed, and the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. You therefore must endure hardship. We don't like that. The Word of God says, as a child of God, you're going to endure hardship. It's not a cakewalk. I keep telling the radio congregation, it is not a cakewalk. It's not a picnic. It's warfare. Yep. It is warfare every day of the world. So once again, you therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. A good soldier. A good soldier is faithful. A good soldier knows his armament. A good soldier understands how to use the armament. And a good soldier understands we have an enemy. We're up against an enemy. You will never get up in the morning when Satan is not waiting to discourage you, defeat you, tempt you, strike you, hit you any way he can. You need to understand that. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. At the end of his life, Paul could say, I have fought a good fight. I'd like to lay on my deathbed and say, I have fought a good fight. Amen. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That should be the ultimate goal of each of us. At the end of our tenure on earth, we should be able to say, I have fought a good fight. Too many in the church have laid the armament down. Too many in the church do not get up in the morning and put on the whole armor of God. You need the whole armor of God. Every day of the world. Because you will never live a day that the enemy is not seeking to discourage you, to distract you, to destroy you, to tempt you. You have to understand that. Paul could say, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. I'm ready to die. I'm ready to die. So with those thoughts in mind, let's go now to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith. A simple explanation of justified, I bumped across years ago. A very simple explanation of justified is just as if I'd never sinned. You as a child of God, adopted into the family of God, and let's face it, there's some treacherous, ugly past in the past lives of all of God's people. Amen. Every saint of God, I've never met one who wasn't somewhat distressed and discouraged and ashamed of what they were before Christ. Amen. What they did, where they went, what they said, what they were. But now, we've been justified by faith, just as if we had never said those things. Just as if we had never done those things. Just as if we had never gone where we went where we should not have gone. We've been justified by faith and have peace with God. Peace with God? You can't put a price tag on that. You can't put a price tag on that. I mean, you lay down at night. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. He says, being born again, he will receive your soul. The minute, you have to understand this, one split second after you've experienced your last heartbeat, you're in glory.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
The fight's over. The battle's over. Satan lost. You won. You're in glory. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you know how many people are seeking peace today? They're in nightclubs and lounges and this pursuit and that pursuit and buying this and buying that and doing this and doing that and running here and running there and running to and fro. And all they're looking for is peace with God. And they can't find it in anything they're doing. How do we get it? Through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It is only in and through the Lord Jesus Christ that we will ever know the peace of God. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ that we do know the peace of God. Verse 2. Through whom? Jesus. Also, we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand. It is faith that we didn't earn. We didn't conjure it up. By the grace of God, we've been given the faith. When you really stop and look at the whole matter of conversion, you had nothing to do with it.
Amen.
You had nothing to do with it. God knew before the foundation of the world. Well, listen, now let me make this real straight for you. You're dead in your trespasses and sin. Before Christ.
Amen.
So if you're dead in your trespasses and sin, where'd the faith come from to be saved?
God.
Salvation is a work of God from start to finish.
Amen.
And the Word of God makes it very clear that God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not be born again. And in His knowledge, foreknowledge, knowing that we would be born again, He put in place that plan whereby we could be adopted into his family. Somehow we like to take a little credit for our salvation. Well, I did accept Christ. You accepted Christ. Salvation is a free gift. It's the gift of God. God knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not be a recipient if they were entitled and if they were enabled and empowered to be a recipient. But it's a work of God from start to finish.
Yes, sir.
All the way through. It's a work of God. You can't take any credit whatever for your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
No, sir.
You can take no credit whatever for having been adopted into the family of God. You just give him thanksgiving. Now, this goes deeper than I'm going to try to go this morning, but I'm going to abbreviate this comment so that you can at least start dealing with it this week. God knew before the foundation of the world the multitudes that would be born. And he knew out of that multitude who would be born again. You're getting saved. You're receiving Christ. We put it that way. Your being born again did not catch him by surprise.
No.
He knew before the foundation of the world that you would at some point in time, and God knows many of us went a long ways in the wrong direction before we came to a knowledge of him and before we submitted and surrendered to him. But he knew. He knew where, when, how, what. He knew the whole thing. Either he's omniscient or he's not. You got to come to grips with that. He is omniscient.
Amen.
He's never learned anything new. He never will learn anything new. He's omniscient God. He chose the date of your birth. He chose the time of your birth. He chose your parents. He chose everything about you. You didn't choose any of it. You made a lot of bad decisions. You made a lot of bad choices. But he brought you forth, and he knew before the foundation of the world when, where, how you would come to him, you would finally be willing to come to him, be willing to be born again if you could be born again. Are you getting this?
Yes, sir.
Good. Through whom also we have access by our religious experience? No. The denomination we belong to? No. We have access by faith into the grace. The word grace, unmerited favor. We got something we didn't deserve. I didn't deserve grace. You didn't deserve grace.
No.
None of us deserve grace. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, the unmerited favor, the unmerited, unwarranted favor of God, I've been adopted into the family of God. So, by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in that no matter what is going on. You walk out in the morning and you got a flat tire. You try to crank the car and you got a dead battery. You go back in the house to get a little something cold to drink. There's nothing in the refrigerator because the refrigerator went out overnight. I mean, you know, some days it just piles up one thing after the other, after the other, after that. But can you, through it all, and I've been there with tears in my cheek, I've said, glory be to God, hallelujah. What does the Word of God say? In everything give thanks. Wait a minute, Lord. What do you mean in everything give thanks? You have to understand, number one, you're in school. You're being taught. You're being trained. Not only that, you're having to be confronted with things that which you've got to determine, how am I going to respond to this? How am I going to react to this? Am I going to respond in grace, in faith, in love? The Word says that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to His purpose. So you're saying to me, Lord, that this flat tire and a car that won't start and a refrigerator went out overnight, you're saying to me that all that is working good? Yes. Teach you patience. Teach you endurance. The Word of God says, in everything give thanks.
Amen.
Now, are you going to obey God? Yes or no? In everything give thanks. Verse 3. And not only that, We also glory in tribulation. We glory in tribulation. We joy. We take joy in tribulation. Say, well, maybe you do. I don't. What the Word of God says, not only that, also we glory in tribulations. Why in the world would I glory in tribulations? What are tribulations? We're not talking about the great tribulation now. We're talking about the day-to-day, here and now, nasty here and now, in the world here and now. Every day of the world, you're having to come through some tribulation to one degree or another. Tribulation is just trouble. It's things that come against you. It may be an ache here and a pain there. It may be the stove that goes out. It may be the air conditioner that dies. It may be the car that won't start. It may be any number of things. Look, every day of the world when you get up, Satan says, well, he's up and around. Let's hit him. It's not a cakewalk, folks. Christianity is not a cakewalk. And too much of the church, I'm telling you, you are the Word of God says you're a soldier in God's army.
Amen.
The Word of God says you're to put on the whole armor of God every day. The Word of God tells you that you have the sword of the Spirit. If you know enough of the sword of the Spirit to use it against the enemy, you can inflict damage on him.
Amen.
You have to understand, there's never going to be a day of your world that you're not under an attack by demons out of hell.
Amen.
They want to discourage you. They want to defeat you. They want to tempt you. They want to do anything they can to steal your joy, steal your peace. So, once again, not only, but we also glory in tribulation. We say, bring it on. Bring it on, demons out of hell. Because I've already got up this morning. Ha, ha, ha. And what you don't understand, demon out of hell, is I got up this morning, and I got on my knees, and I put on the whole armor of God, and when I came up off my knees, I came out prepared to meet you and anything hell had to offer.
Hello.
Is that the way you start your day? Or do you get up and say, oh, I got on something here that, well, yesterday it was over here, and now it's moved down here. And tomorrow will probably be over here. So you get up and you start enumerating all the aches and pains and grievances and discomforts and the things that discourage and depress. And all the time the Spirit of God is saying, will you please give me a chance to operate in you, to fill you, to honor you, to glorify you, the Lord Jesus Christ through your life. Will you give me a chance? Well, you don't understand. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. Great big mushy ones. A little bit of squashy ones. I'm going to eat some worms. That's how a lot of people start their day. I like to, now don't get me wrong here. Don't get me wrong. But it's done in faith. Get up in the morning. Step inside your bed, put your feet on the floor, say, bring it on. Because here and now, I choose to die to self. Here and now, I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, be Lord of my life. Manifest yourself through me today. Enable me, Holy Spirit. Empower me, Holy Spirit. I'm putting on the whole armor of God now. Before I stand up off this bedside, I am putting on the whole armor of God. And when I come up off my feet, bring it on.
Amen.
You say, well, no, I don't wake up like that. I wake up, once again, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to eat some worms. Get up in the morning. You're a child of God. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've been indwelt by the creative power of the universe. You've been cleansed by the blood of Christ. Your sins have been forgiven. Your past has been forgotten. And every sin you confess is forgiven right then. The blood cleanses, cleanses, cleanses. Get up in the morning and say, bring it on. Been there before. So one demon says to another demon, look, I've done my best. I've done everything I can to discourage this guy. I need some backup here. So here comes another. I bumped across this. This is reality, folks. We're talking about the spirit realm. The spirit realm is real. Listen, Satan doesn't waste his resources. If he can intimidate you and pretty well neutralize you with a very small, unreally, not very powerful demon, that's what he's going to use. But sometimes, the one said, well, I can't handle him. So he's growing in the Lord, and I can't handle him. So you better send me some backup over here. So here comes a little stronger demon. It's warfare, folks. I'll back up what I'm saying to you from the Word of God, but you have to understand, every day of the world, you are up against this. Now, coming once again. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works perseverance. Tribulation works perseverance. How so? It is as you come through battle after battle after battle. The only way, when we went in the military, the way they got us ready for what we had to do was they put us through training. They trained us level after level after level, month after month after month. And there was an additional training. But you had to be ready to confront and meet whatever was coming down the pike at you. In the warfare you're in now, it is never let up. There's never a day that Satan is not seeking to ruin your testimony, discourage you, defeat you. And he'll use anything and everything. Spirit of infirmity? Spirit of infirmity? What do you mean, spirit of infirmity? Word of God. Word of God. You can't treat that. No. This is not a medical protocol that'll treat that.
No.
That can only be handled in the spirit realm. But it's so much, and I'm not putting anybody down. If you read that into this, then you're not hearing the message. But what's our first intimation, no matter what obstacle comes at us? Man must have some kind of solution to this. Somewhere there's a man-made solution to this. I'd rather take the approach, Lord, what's your solution to this?
Amen.
I'd rather look at my options. In the Word of God, in the kingdom of God, I'd rather look at my options. Say, what are my options here? Well, my first option is to, in everything, give thanks. Wait a minute, preacher. You're stretching this. No, it's what the Word says. In everything, give thanks. You mean to tell me, preacher, that I'm supposed to thank Him when I have a catch in the back and a catch in my elbow and my neck hurts? No, I didn't say that. He said that.
Amen.
Preacher, you're stretching me. No, I'm not stretching you. In everything, give thanks. Once again, I go out, battery's dead, refrigerator dies, air conditioner quits. It's all happening at one time. In everything, give thanks. I'm supposed to walk around the house saying, Lord, I want to thank you that the air conditioning died. Lord, I want to thank you that the car wouldn't start. Lord, I want to thank you for this catch in my back. I didn't say that. He said that. You see, your obedience is going to be tested.
Amen.
Your obedience is going to be tested. And Satan, every day of the world, is waiting to attack you physically, emotionally, spiritually. He is waiting to attack you. There will never be a day of your life as a child of God when the enemy is not out trying to discourage you and some way defeat you. And this is not name and claim it preaching. This is the Word of God. Do we have physical ailments? Yes. Are they a reality of your life? Yes. They are a reality of life. The Word of God teaches us that. We know that some physical disorders and discomforts are not, they're just native to mankind. They're going to be there. The thing you have to understand, though, is that I've got to discern, where is this coming from? Have I given ground somewhere? Is this in the spirit realm or is this in the physical realm? And if it's in the physical realm, is it being activated in the spirit realm? I've got to question those things. I've been there too many times, folks. And so have many of you. So we realize that sickness, pain, disorder, diseases, that is a part of life. It's part of the fall of man. But I serve a God.
Amen.
I serve a God. that can bring me through and bring me over, bring me beyond. So tribulation, yes, yes. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. You say, okay, well, I came through that. Satan attacked me here, Satan attacked me there, but I made it through. I came through, and I'm still a child of God. No matter what you come through, you're still a child of God. Amen. Whether it's a physical disorder, financial problem, whatever it may be, when you come out the backside of it, and the minute you come through this one, you're looking at another one. Folks, that's life.
Amen.
That's ever since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, that has been life. That is reality. I face it, you face it. One of the things that troubles me, and this is something a lot of preachers would never talk about, we like to look at the pastor, the preacher, say he's got it all together. He doesn't. The pastor doesn't have it all together. The preacher doesn't have it all together. The pastor, the preacher's come through the same stuff you come through.
Amen.
He's coming through a process of sanctification. And not only that, you'd be surprised how many pastors, how many preachers come into the pulpit with situations and circumstances and weaknesses in their life that's just waiting to express themselves at some point in time, hopefully to destroy the ministry. How often does that happen? You see, you have to explore the heart. You've got to be honest with yourself and honest with God. This is there. This tendency is there. This temptation is there. This proclivity towards this weakness is there. You've got to be honest with God. Just because you're on the praise team don't mean you're perfect. Just because you're in the pulpit doesn't mean you're perfect. We're all sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
And we all came out of the womb with the ancestral sins in the bloodline. Not only that, Satan is looking every day of the world for a new way to tempt you, test you, and make you fail. It's warfare, folks. It's warfare. And that's what this is teaching us right here. Once again, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. We say, okay, well, I made it through that battle. I made it through. I almost failed. I became discouraged. I became somewhat despondent. It was tough, but he brought me through. I made it through. I didn't give up and give in. Now we come to verse 4. And perseverance, character. As you come through trials and troubles and tribulations and problems, that you develop character. Your character becomes strength. You say, well, I made it through that battle. Well, let me say this to you. Just because you made it through that battle, you're about to go into another battle. It's a series of skirmishes in the spiritual warfare every day of the world. You're in a spiritual warfare. And the enemy is not going to give up. He's not going to give up. In perseverance, character. Listen, that's how you build character. By standing strong. By obeying God. It's okay to fall on your knees and say, Father God, I can't. This is tough. This is more than I bargained for. And I think one of the things where the church is missing it so much, most preachers don't like to talk about these things, but when you start talking about the sins of the bloodline, the ancestral sins, the unclean spirits that get into a bloodline, that stay in that bloodline until they are sent out of that bloodline by the blood of Christ and the testimony and the power of God. And people are sitting in church, they walk in church, they walk in the church demonically infected, they sit and they listen demonically infected, they get up and walk out demonically infected, and they go to work the next day demonically infected.
Amen.
And until you come to grips with the reality, the reality of the reality. Did you hear what I just said?
Mm-hmm.
Until you come to grips with the reality of the reality of the warfare, you're going to suffer defeat.
Amen.
And you're not going to walk in joy. You're not going to walk in the peace and the joy that Christ purchased for us on the cross. It's warfare every day of the world. Tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, makes you stronger. You start, you develop more like Christ. You become increasingly Christ-like. As you come through battle after battle after battle, testing after testing after testing, temptation after temptation after temptation, and you overcome it, you overcome it, you overcome it by the power of God through the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. That builds character and that builds perseverance. And you say, okay, I won that one. And let me say this to you. Some of you are there right now. I've lived this long enough. I've studied this long enough. I've lived it long enough. Some of you right now are battling a stronghold in your life. It may be fear. It may be lust. It may be anger. It may be any. Hang your own name on it. But I'll go in any church in the nation. I'll go into any convention of pastors. And I will say to them, each and every one of you are fighting Satan. There's strongholds in the bloodline. There's strongholds in the life. And you have to overcome. It's one-on-one. It's one-on-one. But you have to understand that the warfare is real. The battle is real. And you are in the battle. You're in the fight. Endure hardness of the good soldier, the Word of God says. Endure hardness. Don't pout and get upset with God. Endure hardness. Come through this thing. Put on the whole armor of God. Know who you are in Christ. Use the whole armor of God. Use the sword of the Spirit. What did Jesus do in the temptation? It is written. It is written. It is written. He took the sword of the Spirit and defeated Satan himself.
Amen.
And you can do the same thing. Take the sword of the Spirit. Use the sword against him and you can defeat him. Verse 4. In perseverance we build character. Becoming stronger, becoming more Christ-like. Look, folks, we came into the kingdom of God as infants. Spiritual infants. And we have to come through the stages of spiritual growth. It is as we come through the battles, as we win battle after battle after battle, and we come out of them wounded. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. You come through the battle sometimes wounded, emotionally. Wounded, that you're even in the battle. But you come out of that and you build character. And in character, you build hope. You say, well, praise God, he brought me through that level. And Satan said, okay, we see you're getting victory in this level of your life, so let's introduce you to a new level of discouragement, of doubt, of fear, of disbelief, of temptation. It comes in levels. It comes in layers. And the moment the enemy recognizes that you have finally reached a place in your walk with Christ, that you have victory at that level, he's going to introduce a new level. Passivity will get you hurt. Passivity will get you hurt bad. Passivity will hurt your testimony. Passivity will hurt your witness. It's warfare. It's not a cakewalk. It's warfare. Every morning of the world, hear me and hear me clearly, every morning of the world, the host of Satan, whoever's been assigned to you, is waiting to trip you up, to destroy your joy, destroy your peace, destroy your testimony, going to bombard your mind, going to attack your body. And you have to, every day of the world, learn how to put on the whole armor of God, submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and say to him, I'd rather die than fail you.
Amen.
Then you become a threat to hell. So much of the church, I'm nice, and you're nice, and we're nice, so we'll just be nice, and we won't disturb hell. We won't disturb the demons. We don't want to do anything to disturb hell. So we'll just be nice and quiet and polite.
He'll leave us alone for a while.
Remember about me?
And he'll leave us alone.
Yeah, like he'll leave us alone. No, he's not going to leave you alone. There's not going to be a day of your life.
Amen.
He didn't come against you. And one of the greatest tools he uses is the deception of passivity. Deceives you into a passive frame of mind. You're not vigilant. You're not sensitive. You're not sensitive to the warfare that is raging around you. You're not sensitive to what is ministering to your mind. You're not sensitive to what is affecting your spirit. You're not sensitive to that. You let it slide. You've got to stand against it. Know your position in Christ. Take your position in Christ. Stand against it. Verse 5. And hope does not disappoint. Because, why? The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Hope. Hope in Christ. Hope in His victory. Hope in His joy. Hope in Christ. Hope does not disappoint. Your hope in Christ Jesus is not going to be disappointing. You get up every day in the world, I'm a child of God, adopted into the family of God. Yes, I'm a soldier of the cross. Yes, I'm an ambassador for Christ. Yes, I'm written in the will. Yes, yes, yes. His victory is my victory. I can't win this thing. But He won it, and I walk in His victory. But you have to learn how to appropriate that victory. Guess how you learn how to appropriate that victory? In the battle. It's in the battle. You don't learn how to appropriate the victory sitting in front of the TV and say, oh, well, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Well, really not because that's interesting, but I'll watch it. Something to do anyway. No. It's in the battle. It's in the battle. And so much of the church ought to be neutralized, marginalized. They're not even in the battle anymore. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. By the Holy Spirit? By the Holy Spirit who was given to us? By the Holy Spirit who was given to us? Let's see. You as a child of God have received the Holy Spirit of God. You have received the creative power of the universe. You have received the Spirit of God, your Heavenly Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you as a recipient of Christ Jesus as your Savior, as a recipient of salvation, your body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and you're indwelt by the Spirit of God. You're indwelt by the creative power of the universe. What in heaven's name can defeat you? If you know who you are.
Amen.
If you know who you are. It's not enough to say I'm a Christian. It's not enough to say, well, I've been born again. It's not enough to say, glory be to God, I'm a child of God. You've got to know what that means. You've got to know, you have to understand, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, different echelons of power. And when this echelon says, wait a minute, I've lost the conflict with this guy. He's been growing in the Lord. He's reached a level now where I can no longer really intimidate or control. Better send me a backup over here. That's warfare, folks. It's just reality. It's the way it is. And it's what the Word of God teaches. Once again in verse 5. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You are a recipient of the Holy Spirit of God, the creative power of the universe. But you'll never walk in that power with unbelief, quenching, grieving, rebelling. You'll never walk in that power. Every day of the world. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man, no, let me go back to verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He didn't die for the godly, He died for the ungodly. Can you turn to somebody and say, I was the ungodly? You see, we were all in the family of the ungodly. but he adopted us out of the family of the ungodly, brought us to himself, adopted us, put us in the family of the godly, dressed us in the whole armor of God. He's made it available to us, wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, listen, folks, you got everything going for you. You got everything going for you. You don't have to walk in discouragement and defeat. You may get discouraged, but you don't have to stay there. You may be defeated from time to time, but you don't have to live there. Get up. Glory be to God. Yes, I've been discouraged. Yes, I've been defeated. Yes, this happened, that happened, that happened, and all that discouraged me. But at the end of the day, glory be to God, I'm born again. My sins are forgiven. My past is forgotten. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. When my heart beats the last time, I'm going to go to glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now we come down to verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. Let me read you that out of the Amplified Bible. Now it is an extraordinary thing for one to willingly give his life, even for an upright man, though perhaps for a good man, one who is noble and selfless and worthy, someone might dare to die. But God gave his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, we were sinners. And he loved you as a sinner. Well, let me ask you this. If he loved you as a sinner, how much more does he love you now that you're his child?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, mercy help us, Lord. Amen. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that. Don't lose sight of that. In that, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He died for sinners, folks. And you're surrounded by them every day. You were one of them. You used to run with the pack. You used to run with the pack. And the crowd you ran with, once you got saved, you couldn't run with that crowd anymore. Come out, be ye separate, saith the Lord. But you got to remember that every day of the world, you are surrounded by people who are still there. You're to be salt. You're to be light. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't say, I'm going to let you get right. I'm going to let you improve somewhat. Then I'm going to save you. No. Do you realize, oh boy, this is ugly. Do you realize you get the glory? You're going to be hobnobbing with rapists, child molesters, sodomites. Oh, got quiet in here. The kingdom of God is made up of every despicable crime and sin you can name. Because it's made up of individuals who were in that expression of sin until the love of Christ. They saw light in somebody's life. They got a witness from somebody. They stood over here day after day watching that guy, watching that guy. Why doesn't he respond the way these respond? Why doesn't he react the way they react? He says he goes to church. He says this, he says that. And then eventually they come to a point where they start listening. And they'll stand over here and they'll listen to his testimony while they're doing this, doing that, and the other. They finally reach a place where they'll sit down and listen to a testimony. And then, through a process of time, they say to God, would you do for me what you did for him?
Amen.
Would you do for me what you've done for him? I want you, Lord. I want you. And they come a time they're born again. So we come back again. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:9. Much more then, having been justified by his blood. Not by church attendance. Not by religious activity. Not by singing in the choir. Not by serving as a Sunday school teacher. No, 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 no. We've been justified by his blood. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from sin. And it is only the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse from sin. Blood, 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 blood. Somebody says, I don't like a bloody religion. You'll never get to glory then. The blood. By his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Through his blood, we've been saved. Do you realize the day is coming when God is going to express his wrath against all who have refused him, Jesus? What does the wrath of God look like? You don't want to know. You don't want to know. There's no words that can describe the wrath of God, but the wrath is going to be displayed. And let me tell you, oh, heaven help me. Do you know how many are singing in the choir, serving in the church, doing this, doing that? I say serving in the church, serving in the local assembly, I should say. So many are involved in so much religious activity, they've never been born again. And they're going to suffer the wrath of God. Regardless of their religious activity, they will suffer the wrath of God, and that is not a pretty sight. That is condemnation to hell throughout eternity. Verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Glory be to God. Look at verse 10 again. For if when we were enemies, and we were all enemies of God. Prior to salvation, we were all enemies. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, Jesus Christ, the cross. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And that is the basis of your salvation. I want to read you one more scripture before I shut this down. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us. Amen. Boy, has he been that with me. Has he been that with me? Long suffering, patient. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish. That person that you wouldn't give the time of day to, Christ went to the cross for them. That person that you despise, them and their lifestyle, Christ went to the cross. Understand this. Now that you've been saved, Word of God says you're salt. What does that mean? It means that you are a preservative in the society in which we live. You. How are you a preservative? Through your prayer life. Through your testimony. Through what you'll be a part of, what you won't be a part of. What you'll embrace and what you won't embrace. You are salt. And then you're light. You take light into darkness. You take the light of the gospel. You take the light of the indwelling Christ in you into the darkness of the workplace. You're light. You're salt. And you're witnesses. You're a witness, one way or the other. But you're a witness. Amen. And you're either witnessing for the kingdom of light or the kingdom of darkness. Folks, that's as honest as I know how to be with you on those verses. I've tried my best this morning to help you better understand who you are in Christ, what God brought you out of, what he brought you into, and now that we've been brought out of that into this, the kind of people we should be.
Amen.
Salt, light, understand, and understand this. I'm going to say it once again, then I'm going to close it down. Every morning of the world, you wake up. In the first few moments you're awake, submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Father, I choose to die to self. I choose to live for you. Holy Spirit of God, enable me, empower me today to be to the Father and for the Father, all the Father would have me to be and to do. And towards that end, I submit and surrender to your lordship. Towards that end, I put on the whole armor of God. And now I'm ready to face the day.
Amen.
Now I'm ready to face the day. Father God, please, Holy Father, take this word. Encourage your people, strengthen your people, equip your people. And Father God, let them day by day become increasingly more Christ-like. Give them the anointing, Holy Spirit of God, day by day. Let it be a new heartfelt desire to be indwelt by, not only indwelt by, we are indwelt by, but empowered by, enabled and empowered by you, Holy Spirit, to be for the Father and for the Father, all the Father would have us to do and to be. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.